The text is taken from Matthew chapter 6. Scripture text is from Matthew chapter 6, and I'll read for you from verse 19 to verse 34. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 34. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Reverend Stephen Koo, pastor of Bethel BP Church, will now speak on the topic, God's better things. And before he delivers God's word to us, he shall pray the pastoral prayer. Reverend Stephen Koo.
Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, how we thank you for this morning, the day that you have given to us to worship you. Thank you, Father, for gathering so many of your people here this morning, a day in which we come different from the usual Lord's Day. They have come early to worship you. They honor you. They love you. And I pray, Father, that you will bless them in accordance with your will and your word, and all those who honor you and bless you, you will bless them. Bless all, Lord, who have come this morning to worship you. Be with them throughout this day and throughout even this week. And we also pray for those who are in our midst, who are still outside your kingdom. We pray, Father, for them. It is by your appointment that they are here this morning, and that having heard your word, Lord, may they believe in their heart and receive Christ Jesus and be saved to the praise and glory of your name. Father, we once again remember our children. We pray, Father, especially for them, that they will grow up to know the Lord Jesus Christ, love Him, and believe in Him, and be saved. And we pray, Father, for ourselves as parents, that we will show them a good example, loving You with all our heart, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, and serving Him. And above all, Lord, grant us as parents the patience to nurture them up in the fear of the Lord. Help us, give us the words, Lord, to explain to them the gospel of salvation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they too might believe in their heart and be saved. You have expressed your love, special love for these children. And we pray, Father, that at an early age, they may believe in Christ and have that assurance of salvation. We thank you, Father. Bless every family who is called by your name. Father, we pray for the Far Eastern Bible College, a college which you have set up and established for many years. Many, Lord, have come to this college and have learned your word, which has been faithfully taught. They have graduated, have been trained, and have the knowledge of you and your word, and many have returned to their countries, and many, Lord, you have used in a great and mighty way to reach out to their own people with the gospel of truth. And many who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ have been also taught your precious word, and they in turn share this with others. Oh, we praise you, and we pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will multiply, will increase the number of people, Lord, to be saved, so that the day when you come, Lord, what a glorious gathering it will be, and we will meet with the Lord Jesus Christ and be with you forever and ever and ever. We praise you. And so we pray, Lord, that you will continue to preserve this wonderful college, which is your college, for your glory, for your honor. We pray, Father, for the board of directors and also the faculty members. Give to them, Lord, the joy, peace to serve you. Oh, we thank you, Father, for them. And above all, Lord, we pray that you will preserve this college against the evil one who will try, Lord, to destroy it. Because he loves to see this college destroyed, because many are being trained, and through this, many are being saved through this college. We pray against him, knowing, Father, that you have the victory over the evil one. So bless this college, Lord, for your use. May every faculty member and board of directors continue to be faithful, Lord, to you, Lord, and serve you with courage and strength. We pray, Father, also for this church, that you also have established and founded. Lord, bless the session of this church, the elders and the deacons, Lord, and all the leaders of the various fellowship groups. We pray, Father, for your special blessing upon them. Fill them with your Spirit, that they may serve you, Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, gladly, with all the wonderful spiritual gifts that you have bestowed upon them. And so blessed their labor, Lord, of faith, love, and hope. We thank you, Father, and bless all the others, Lord, who are called by your name, who are in this church, Lord. Bless them as they all work together to build one another up, to love one another, to care for one another. And then, Lord, together they spread the gospel of salvation to others, the good news. We thank you, Father. Bless them with good health and strength, with great joy in their hearts. Now, Lord, as we open your word, we pray that you will speak to us. Anoint the preaching of your word to the praise and glory of your name. May your Holy Spirit, who indwells us, gives us, Lord, understanding of your word. And above all, Lord, transform and change our lives. Having heard your word, we may be courageous, Lord, and strong to obey you and serve you. This we pray, thanking you, Lord, for everything, even salvation, rich and free in Christ Jesus. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning is quite special because out of your usual 10-15 service, I came here early. I've got to wake up early too. And this is wonderful, something that is out of the ordinary. And as I sat there at 9 a.m. and look all over and I see all of you, in my heart I lift up a prayer to the Lord and ask, Lord, I say, bless all of you. Bless all of you, because you honor him. And it's something that we should always remember when things a little that is out of the ordinary. And then when we are to go and worship the Lord, we should go with gladness to honor him. Because the day will come when you will be so busy and Christ will just take you away. That will be the greatest surprise. And so you would be bedtime. At that time when you are taken away, you should not grumble, but be happier even, because that is the day when it will end everything on this earth. And you and I will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? Why you are not smiling? You are not happy? You are not looking forward to that day. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says that you will love his appearing. You love his coming, you know. You will get a reward. So the Lord knows us all, how we are so tied down to this earth. Our eyes, our head, all looking down and never upwards, and our hearts too. The Lord knew it. And so the Lord says that if you love his appearing, He will even reward you. Just for that, just love His appearing, He says that He will reward you. I hope that you will love His appearing and enjoy that, looking forward every day. How long, Lord? How long? When are you coming? And the Lord Jesus Christ promised that I will come quickly, not one time, but three times. Surely I will come quickly. Wow, that is wonderful. Now you have your Bible with you. Could you please turn to Matthew? And we have just read the passage from verse 19 to 34. You have in this passage where God gives us, the Lord Jesus Christ here in His sermon, gave two better things which we should do. Two better things. While here on this earth, we are living here in this temporal world, there are two better things. And what are these two better things? All right, look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. All right, so that's the first one. Lay not up. And then the second one is in verse 25. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. And Jesus repeated this phrase three times in verse 27, 28, 31, 34. And altogether five times He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. Three times. So, two better things for us to do. And this is the two things. So before we examine a little closer concerning these two better things, as I read this passage, which is so familiar to many of us, you have read it, you have heard it preached, some of you have even studied it. I have gone through the same experience as all of you, and as I read this passage again, it speaks to me afresh and caused me to examine my life and now to order my life correctly. And I think that should be the same to all of you. This morning, as we read this passage and we examine what the Lord Jesus Christ says here, it will touch your heart and cause you also to examine your life and do these two better things which the Lord Jesus Christ says. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon this earth, and take no thought what you shall eat or drink or wear. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the passage as we have read, the Lord will give the answer to it. While Jesus Christ says, lay not up treasures for yourself, treasures on earth, He will tell us another thing there. He says, you lay up treasures in heaven. And then to the other one, take no thought. But then He asks us to trust in Him. As I look at this passage with regard to treasures, a thought came to my mind. And that is, while we live on this earth, the things that we have been blessed with, personally, our abilities, our talents, and then our treasures on this earth, which is the things that we have, this will only be temporal. Yet these very temporal things, we can invest it in heaven. And the dividends that we get as we invest in heaven, those dividends will last eternally. Or this thought came to me suddenly as I was musing on this passage, and then one day in the bus itself, this thought came to me. And it strikes me and it makes me so happy, and I think that all of us will be happy. Don't you think so? That the things that you have, the things that you treasure so much on this earth, you will keep it until the day you die, and even before you die, before you go, you want to see these things, you ask somebody to bring it out, and so that you can feel it, see it, and touch it, and enjoy it. But it's only for that moment, and it's finished. Yet, all these things, your treasures, whatever they are, you can invest it in heaven and accrue dividends that is yours forever and ever and ever. So what you have here on this earth, which is so valuable, which you cannot keep, you can invest it in heaven and get those dividends in which you can keep forever and ever and ever. Is it good investment? Many of you are investing, right? Are you not investing? You have placed stock and shares, this and that. That's good investment. Whenever you place stock and shares, you expect good returns in future, right? For example, if you have bought 10 years old, 13, 14 years ago, if you have bought Anzac Bank in Australia, which was in the market for $5.20. Today, every share of Anzac Bank is $19.80. You just calculate, you have invested $100,000. Today, you get almost $500,000 out of that, just 10 to 20, 12 years later. Investment, something that you believe we will want to get more valuable in the future. And therefore, Jesus Christ is telling us to be wise and to invest now in heaven. So let's look at the first, lead us to now to this first practical, vital and better thing which we ought to do. And the first one that is we have just said is that lay not up treasures for yourselves. Or rather, I should say this way, lay not up for yourselves treasures. I like the you see, as I read again, sometimes I like to put treasures first because we human beings always want to put the thing treasure first, but the Lord will have to put the emphasis on for yourselves. For yourselves, then treasures first. And this word for yourselves, it means, well, sometimes people say that this is selfish, to lay up treasures for yourselves. It's a selfish idea, but I believe here, and I think it's personal, lay not up treasures for yourselves. So it's got to be personal, because later on he says that you should lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so this is something that is personal. Somebody cannot do it for you. You yourself must do it. Now, lay not up treasures. Treasures is something that we value most. Many things do you value most. But what is the most valuable thing on this earth? We have lived in this world, we have gone through all the different stages from young. Today, our young children all will know what is most valuable. They are going to get ang pao. And they are going to collect money. And they see that money can buy many things. And therefore, we learn this thing from a very young age. When you're a teenager, when you're in school, when you get pocket money, and in school You go to the canteen, and then you buy something for you to eat, for yourself to eat. And then you see a friend can buy more things. Oh, why? Why? I want to have that. But you don't have enough money. That boy or girl has more money to buy. You learned. And as you grow up, you find that money is very important. And without money, you will be deprived of many things. And so money is most valuable. Nothing wrong with money. But if you keep money, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, the reason He gives, if you lay up, you keep them, and this is your treasure, most, you keep them. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say here? Moth and rust will corrupt. Yes, this is very true. This is the law of the principle of entropy. Things in this world cannot last. It will become worse and worse. And if especially you don't take care of it, it will become worse. Is it not? If the money you just only keep in the bank instead of investing, will it become worse? Yes or no? Yes, the value will become what? Less. Today, $1 can fetch you one cake, one piece of cake. Or I say $3 can fetch you one piece of cake. Give another few years, your $3 only can get you pak kacang putih. Just peanut. Indeed. In Australia, in the place that I live, the suburb, 10 years ago, a house is only $160,000. My dream house. Sometimes I said, today it is almost more than half a million. So that time your money can buy that, but today you must have four times more before you can get that same house. So it becomes less value. So the Lord Jesus Christ says here, you don't lay up your treasures on earth for yourself, because moth and rust corrupt. Then thieves also will steal it. True or not? Very true. Nowadays there's online internet thieves, you know. How many of you have your banks or your bank accounts all in online? One day you open up your bank account zero, because they hack into it, they take everything away. So even banks also not safe. You think that it is safe? It is not safe. The Lord Jesus Christ knew. So what do you do? So Jesus Christ said, don't keep all those things just all the time there. But Jesus Christ says, what? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There is a bank of heaven which you can invest. You don't have to use the money that's made in heaven. No, you have to use temporal things here. How wonderful is our Lord that you can use the things here on this earth you cannot keep and invest in heaven, which you can get forever. And then the Lord Jesus Christ says, regard the light of the body. The body here means your whole self. It doesn't mean this physical body. It means this word body here, it means the whole total being, yourself, soul, spirit, and body. And the light of this body, supposed to be body, is the eye. Because this is since Christ speaks of the body, the eye is the eye that sees everything. And if there is light, there's truth. It is wonderful. You know what to do. You will not lay it up your treasures here on earth, the treasures that you have. Nothing wrong with the treasures per se, but you were laid up in heaven. But if you do not have that light, that truth, the truth that God says here in His Word, then there is darkness, you see not. And that darkness is so dark, it's very sad. In fact, that darkness, Jesus Christ here says, with regard to your eyesight that is not focused. If your eyesight is focused, there's light, and then you see. But when your eyesight is not focused, there is what you call retinal double vision. One time you see this, one time you see that. Double vision. There's darkness. You can't make up. Everything is blurred. Everything is dark. And it is very sad. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, having said that, He brings us to the end. What is it? You have treasures here on this earth. You should not keep it here on this earth for yourselves. Because if you do that, there will be a great loss. The Lord Jesus Christ here tells us that therefore you should serve. You cannot serve God and mammon. Because as His children, we, having known the light, have seen the light, our eyes is focused, then we should serve God and not mammon or money. And so if we have this double vision, eventually we will serve, we will tend to serve, if we lay up treasures for ourselves here on this earth, we will serve mammon. And then we will despise God. He says here, God Himself say, or else He will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And so if you lay up treasures on this earth for yourself, slowly, eventually, you will not serve God. That's very true. Very true indeed. Many people, many Christians, are trying to serve both God and mammon, or mammon and God. You can't have this double vision. Because God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, says that if you lay up treasures here on this earth for yourselves and not treasures, lay up treasures in heaven, many Christians like to lay up, don't do this both, lay up treasures also on earth for themselves and also try to lay up treasures in heaven. A double vision. Here the Lord God Jesus Christ says here, no, you cannot serve God and mammon, because you cannot be a servant of two masters. You either love one and hate the other, or you will hold to the one and despise the other. So if you and I lay up treasures for ourselves here on this earth, and then we say that we love God, we want to serve God, eventually you will love mammon more. And you don't like God. God is no more in your picture. His word is no more with you. Everything is concerning God is no more with you. You will hate Him. Whenever God is mentioned, you try to stray away from Him. No, no more God. I am happy what I am now. I have enough in my bank account. Eat, drink, and be merry. And have all the pleasures. I don't need anything. That's very dangerous. So you and I need to examine ourselves. Of course, I'm not asking you to empty all your bank account now and just give away to everybody. No, you should now. You have all, you have money, you have talents. Use it wisely. Invest. The question is how to invest. How to invest, how to lay up treasures in heaven. Now I believe that here is, I try to think of scriptures and then we think of the parable of talents which our Lord mentions and how each servant, you know, used the talents they were given and to make more talents for the master. And then they were richly rewarded, something that's future. And the one who did not use that talent, but just keep it for himself, he lost everything. And so there's one thing, you have talents. You have time, energy, strength, many talents. Much talents also you have. You can invest them. And of course, money. Even a little thing as the giving of a cup of water, you also get rewarded. Cup of water here on this earth to someone, you also get rewarded. And so how to invest in heaven? And that is to do God's will, as God says. This is God's body, the church. This church belongs to God because He bought all of you. He brought all of you together here and He has given a mandate to this church to spread the gospel, to build one another up. And this is where you support Him. With your talents, with your treasures, you support Him. In the name of Christ, you do it because it's for Christ's sake. You do it because it is for God's sake. When you do it, you give it that way, you are investing in heaven. You must do it in the name of Christ. Not in any other name. The same thing. You give something and another person gives the same thing, yet the rewards could be different because of the motive. If you do it for Christ's sake, in the name of Christ, you will be rewarded. That's how you lay up your treasures in heaven, that's how you serve God as your master. Now, what is the next better thing to do? And that's it for us here in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall be clothed. Take no thought. Does it mean that I don't care for everything, I don't think about tomorrow, what I shall do, what shall I do this and do that? Forget everything. I just eat today and then tomorrow I come and then I don't. In that case, my wife is always make that mistake, right? She will cook today and then tomorrow also she will think of what to cook next tomorrow. Does it mean that? Does it mean that I cannot think for my children about today and then forget about tomorrow, what they're going to wear, what they're going to bring to school for their lunch and so forth? No. The answer is definitely no. What is the phrase here? Take no thought here. It means that we do not worry unnecessarily with regards all these things. You see, and here the Lord Jesus Christ explains to us, if you read further down, look at what the Lord just said, behold the fowls, he says here, behold the fowls or the birds of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather barns. Did the birds sow? You don't see a bird sowing. You don't see a bird reaping. Nor do you see the birds go there and always collect and put in a barn. And say that winter comes, and then say that yes, food to eat. No. Here the Lord can draw this analogy and say, yet your heavenly Father, this illustration here, yet your heavenly Father, he says, your heavenly Father, which is my heavenly Father too, feedeth them. The birds, and yet God the Father feed them. And the Lord Jesus Christ compares, he says, are you not much better, more valuable than these birds? It's so important here that the Lord Jesus Christ gave two more illustrations. One is that regard to the next one, he says that regard to about your clothes. Sometimes we care so much, we take so much thoughts, worry so much about what we should wear. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, look at King Solomon, the richest man on this earth. Queen Sheba says, why? He'd been told about him, but when she came in and saw Solomon, his wisdom and his kingdom, she was so surprised, so glorious, so wonderful. If we were there, we would say the same thing concerning Solomon. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ says what? Even the little lily, the lily is glorious, more glorious than the glory of Solomon at his peak, his kingdom, his peak. Well, I'm not a botanist, so I just take the Lord Jesus Christ's words as it is. I believe he knows everything. If there's a botanist here, I think this is something for you to go and study. Research it. How is the lily more glorious than King Solomon's glory at his height? I believe that if they study into the intricacies of the lily, what it is like, the human body is so wonderful. Many of you are doctors here, you know. But these lilies, God said, Jesus Christ says. And Jesus Christ who knows everything. And what is Jesus Christ comparing here? Say the lily is like a flower, it blooms for a while, then after that it wither and die. And yet God created it for that short moment. Then Jesus Christ continued this one before he makes it into, because he summarizes the whole thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, look at the grass under our feet. It's made by God. Just for a while, then get dry, people collect it and throw into the oven to make fire. And then the Lord Jesus says, are you no better? Than all these things? Than the lily and the grass that God made for just for a while, and then it just withered, the lily and the grass also, and then be cast into the oven? Are you not better? Why are you so worried? And here the Lord Jesus Christ says here, yes, the answer is you are better, because God cares for them. If God cares for them, they are so insignificant, will not God care for you? Yes or no? Yes. Why? Because you are his children. You are the apex of his creation. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. Not only that, he died for you. He loved you. He cared for you. He wants you to have everything that he has. He wants to bless you. Will he not care for you more than the lily and the grass? Yes. And so he tells us here not to worry unnecessarily with regard to these temporal things here. God knows your needs. It will provide for you. It will be provided for you. So what you need to do? To trust him. And so the Lord Jesus Christ ends this one with this: seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is where God is the king. You are his subjects. And then the realm or the kingdom itself here now on this earth is the church, the body of Christ. Seek ye first this. So come to church together, work, use your talents. As God has blessed you, use it for the advancement of his kingdom. Serve God the King, and you are his subjects. He cares for you. Don't worry about all the basic things that you need. He will feed you. He will care for you. He will provide for you. And if you do seek his kingdom and his righteousness, God says your basic needs will be added. Not only give, but he says added unto you. And when God adds it to you because you have the right attitude with regards to your treasure, you have the right attitude with regards to serving God. You understand? You understand? When you have the right attitude, as Jesus Christ says, when you know how to do the better things, there's no worry for God to give you more. They're giving you more. It's not for yourselves. You will always use it for the advancement of his kingdom. How wonderful it is. I hope you understand this. So we should examine ourselves and change our lives, our thinking. If you do not, then the consequences is very grave. If you do not, what will happen? If you continue to lay up treasures for yourself here on this earth, you keep worrying about all those things on this earth, your basic necessities and all this. You worry that one, and you don't trust God for what he says here. The first thing that will happen in your life is that you will soon cease or stop to hear the word of God. You won't hear. You won't come to church slowly. You will not. Your sensibilities towards God's word will be dulled. I hope this morning's preaching of God's word, reading of God's word, doesn't dull your senses. Ah, yeah, I've heard it already. See, some of you all may have, we may have this kind of issue. I've heard it. It doesn't excite me anymore. It should, for it excites me. I think I've read this passage more times than you. I've not read it, but I've preached it. I've studied it. And yet today it still speaks to me. It should speak to you. It should always speak to you. If you do not, then you will cease from hearing God's word. Your life, your work, and your hopes, which is not built on God but on everything on this earth, will collapse, cannot last forever. One day, either it will be destroyed or you yourself will be taken away. You can't take anything with you. And the third thing is that you will be overtaken by the storms of life and have no shelter, no protection. The fourth thing, you will lose all that you have. And you have no hope at all. But lastly, which is the most important, you will face your God. That you want to run away. You don't want to hear His word. You want to keep the things in this world for yourself. You want to serve mammon. You don't want to seek the kingdom of God, but seek your own gratification, your own pleasure. You will lose all these things. Ultimately, in the final analysis, you face God. You face God. Please realize this. Death is not the end of everything. When Christ comes, you know, He'll be taken up. We face God. We face God. And how are you going to say? What are you going to say? It's terrible. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ in you and you behave this way, God is still faithful to His word. But you suffer loss. Much loss. No dividends. You go into your bank account and you open empty. Yes, you are saved. God is faithful to His word. But if you are not a Christian, you are not a child of God, you are not a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you reject God's offer of salvation for you, you will be punished. For the penalty of sin is death, second death in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. May God help us to make the right decision. Well, it takes courage and strength, spiritual courage and strength, to make that right decision. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. And we pray, Lord, that what we have learned from Your word in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. Lord, we pray that Your word will remain in our hearts and will do the work, Lord, in convicting us of the kind of life that we should live on this earth for You. With regard to the things that You have blessed us with. Therefore, Lord, we pray that You will order our lives in accordance with Your will. This we pray. Hear our humble cry. Forgive us our sins. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.